I want to dedicate it to Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson, you know where you are. You are so crust and fresh. Everything about you is crust and fresh, Bob Johnson. I wish I could stop thinking about you. 1, 2, 3, 4!
Alright guys, welcome to the third episode of Everything's Great. Thanks for joining us. This is the hair version of the podcast.
The hair version?
Yeah, it's the like hair version.
So much hair.
No, yeah. We have people that have a lot of hair. But anyways, I'm Bob.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Kristen.
Who cares?
Nobody cares. But we have Luca, who's playing a basic cable.
We have Eric and Bruce Lamont, who are playing a duet, because they love that word, on Easter.
On 420. 420. Yeah.
Smoke the resurrection of Jesus.
They're part of Fog Fest, the lasers and fast and shit are putting together. And then we also have Cole.
Wait, who is Ronnie talking to?
Cole. Ronnie's talking to Cole.
The Black Lips, like the greatest garage band.
Oh, Matt Williams from. Welcome our special guest, Luca, and he's playing a show at Basic Cable on April
12th.
What's up, Luca?
How are you?
Don't worry, this will get cut.
Okay, thanks. This is a story that should probably get cut. My birds and bees story for my father. All right, so when I was like in, I guess it was in 6th or 7th grade, and the feature film, Something About Mary, came out. All we knew about the movie was the commercial with Cameron Diaz with her hair sticking up. It was rated R, and we were like in 6th or 7th grade, so my parents were like, well, we're going to go see it first. They're like, you and Zach can go see the movie. So my parents drive my buddy and I go see the movie, and we watch it. We're like, oh, that was really funny, you know, this and that, like having a good laugh. And go home, you know, and all of a sudden, like, my bedroom door opens, and my dad's, hey, buddy, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm like,
oh, my God.
Jumping board for the talk, is there something about Mary?
Oh, no.
So, like, I had a chair in my bedroom. My dad, like, sits down.
Oh,
like,
no. He pulled up a chair.
But my dad is, like I said, my dad is a very wise, like sharp dude, so he did not turn the light on. He just sat in the chair. He's like, it was incredibly, like, considerate of him, because, like, he's about to give his son the talk, and he knew that we'd both be embarrassed, so he's like, I'm leaving the light off. So he just sat in the chair, he's like, so, you know, you saw there's something about Mary, you know, the whole thing with the hair gel, and I'm like, yeah, like, my, I'm holding my covers, like, to my chin, I'm like, yeah, I know the hair gel's sending, and he's like, you know, if it comes down to, like, you feel urges, you want to touch yourself, and if anything comes out, like, that's fine, like, there's nothing wrong with that, and you shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed about it. I'm like, okay, Dad, bye, good night. He's like, no, but really, and if you have any questions, come and ask me.
So wait,
he owned it.
So your talk was more about getting it in your hair versus getting it into a vagina that procreates.
It was of a masturbation talk.
It was like a don't be ashamed to jack off talk.
Okay.
Wow. Which I
that
and
is
then,
a cool dad.
It's great, and as a youth, I went for it. I was jacking off everywhere.
Yeah,
name a place.
Your hair. Yeah,
but
once you get to a point, Kristen, I'm gonna say this to you. Once you
this
get
is like my worst.
Once you get to a point in your childhood, if you're someone who like, because we like boy, little boys get boners.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to a point where you can make the boner go away, without, like, you know, like, being in pain and misery and just, like, wailing somewhere in your bedroom because you got a boner that, like, only feels good if you lay on it or something. Once it goes away, once you figure out a way to get rid of it, and getting rid of it is awesome, you do it all the fucking
all the time. Oh, my God.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Yep.
I had my mother tell me one time, I washed your blanket. It's disgusting.
So, tell us about Basic Cable.
Oh, well, Basic Cable is a band I'm playing right now. It was,
Who's in the Basic Cable?
I'm in the band. It's, me and my friend Michael John Grant, my friend Joel Bednarz, Ryan Dugan, Matthew Hort. We've all played together in different ways.
How did the incarnation of Basic Cable happen?
We were all at brunch one day. We're like, well, should we, like, try to jam together? We've talked about it, and we went straight from brunch at Handlebar to the practice space, and we wrote, like, three songs.
Well, I think, like, one of my first interactions with you was, like, telling you how you could not play it in a bad band. Because I really enjoyed...
E-plus was amazing.
E-plus.
Cat Burglars.
You know, I like you how you said that.
I have a lot of, like, recordings aside, I have a lot of fond memories of watching you weirdos fucking get on stage. It was always so fun, man. Always so fun. Cat Burglars show was always the best.
Yeah, that band was super fun. That was, like, the band that kind of taught me how to be in a band. It was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, it was, like, I have a lot of really... Actually, I was thinking about this earlier. The first time I ever played a show at the Empty Bottle was... The Cat Burglars opening up for the Coca-Cola first LP record release show, Free Monday.
That's right, man. Yeah. You guys would play with Coca-Cola all the time.
A lot, yeah.
That's how I knew about
yeah,
you, Cat.
Coca-Cola played our last show.
Coca-Cola all the time.
Yeah, they played our last show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Luca, yeah, you're right. You probably shouldn't have said that shit, but you did. So we got a show coming up on 420, which is Easter for all you Catholics. And we have Child Bite and Ladies of Fast and Shit, but we are joined tonight by Rieslemont and Eric Chalif.
What was Tuesday night
big time.
The boys.
That was the night that I always did, like, I did ordering for a bar, and I always was really drunk by, like, 6 o'clock, because, like, I had reps coming in, and I did not say no to any libations.
It's kind of the table. In a weird way, how bloody as it is now came to be, because it would be him and Casey and Tony, and they would come see. I worked every Tuesday, and so I couldn't hang out with them when they were drinking, so they would come see me at the bottle, and I'd bartend.
And I was here.
And I would never drink while I worked. Swear.
Will you talk about how you met?
Him and I?
We met.
You met here.
Yeah, we met at the bottle.
Like,
yeah.
Fucking.
I worked every jazz show from, like, 96 till 2002.
And I came in every.
And Bruce came to every jazz show from 96 till 2002.
That was the deal, like. I was already coming here to see those shows most of the time anyway.
That's why I worked every Tuesday and Wednesday door.
Yeah.
And that's
you
how
like
I like.
Them? Like is that
yeah, because I was super into like free jazz. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was stoked. All those guys are the fucking best.
Oh, yeah.
And
wonderful people.
The best. Like
turnouts weren't awesome.
Oh, no.
But
it was like
20
people
like,
Vandermark 5.
It definitely ruled. Those were like the best shows.
But, no.
Can I have another drink?
The best part was, like...
You have to go back to the studio.
I do.
That's I mean, the best mind. Part was, like, not only did we get to listen to fucking, like, most of the night's really great music,
yep.
We would get to hang out at the end, and since nobody was there, it was just us and, like, the
Damn.
Jazz guys.
Yeah.
And we would just fucking...
Dude, I mean, what fucking amazing names, like, Brothman,
dude,
Kevin Whitehead...
Joe
like,
McPhee, make him
like, dude, you fucking, like, NRG Trio, like, I'm not even a jazz person, but, like... I'm a fucking super 90s rock person. But, like, you get to hang out with these people that, like, you don't even understand what they're doing. It was, like, that was the shit. The bottle was honestly the shit. And, like, late 90s, early...
Yeah.
Not even...
I still think
ploy against, like... It was just, like, what the bottle, like... like really spawn back then. It was like there was a community that just like they had nowhere else to do anything, so they just did everything here. So, and it was a lot because of John Corbett.
John Corbett and Vannemar basically like they curated the two nights.
Everything we from like 98 till 2000,
even before that.
Yeah, I started coming here in 96 to see Vannemar 5 every Tuesday, and then
Wednesdays. That wasn't anything. Now is not happening.
I like that it took a solid 60 seconds for you to come back around.
Yeah. Shows Mats Gustafsson in like 99, where it was like it would sell out the empty bottle.
I was
like, think about a saxophone. Saxophone player selling out the empty bottles.
So that was like the jazz nights were actually like successful endeavors. There would be the
negative.
Wait.
The jazz fest back then that weekend did well.
That was awesome.
And then the BBC showed up one year and we're filming it. It was like this is fucking on. Like, I mean, it was pretty awesome.
But by then it had been happening for 5 years.
But like
Vannemar
5, I had the poster from their Sympatico release party. It was a Saturday night, and Hami Drake and Joe McPhee opened. They sold out.
Hanging up in our apartment.
I know. Yeah. Sold out the bottle. I mean, a jazz quintet sold the bottle out. That's pretty awesome. Like, you know, I mean, I was on a Saturday night.
I mean,
do you think it was part of like the cultivating the scene that it was having
course.
Every Tuesday?
Absolutely. Yeah. And then you had that, and then it built up to the fest every year, and the fest every year became such a thing. And plus, too, like the connection they had to the European players, like we mentioned, Brosman. Like Misha Mengelberg played here one time before.
Yeah.
Han Bennick. I mean,
we had a giant piano from Misha, like, put up on stage.
Probably
a grand piano. It was like we had to fit that through the back door of the bottle.
Wow.
It was like how?
Yeah. I don't know.
I remember me and Rob Lowe we were bartending. Yeah. We were like helping these boomer dudes fucking like
get in,
heist it up on the stage. That was brutal.
Remember that Edward Penis Hands? You ever see that? You ever see that? I was burdened with these.
Kind of look like these, but individual.
That and like E.T. the porno are like the two best ever in the world. Oh, man. E.T. the porno. I saw bits of it here. It's on Monday night. Some kid was showing it. And I'm like, hey, dude. The man was stomach. Is that E.T. the porn? He's like,
wait, yeah. What happens in E.T. the porn?
It's
I've never seen it. There's
a lot of
but it was like the most poorly constructed ET you've ever seen.
But they go back in time to like Victorian era.
Like this. Like, yay!
Does ET have sex in it?
Oh yeah,
oh,
ET so is gross. A woman.
It's a porn,
but ET. But
yeah, I was wondering who was having sex.
All that's cut out is like all you can see is like the boobies and the hoo ha.
And the hoo ha.
And
that's what they say on the south side.
In the room. The boobies and the hoo ha.
That's
breast.
I wanted to keep it clean for the
Your must, Kevin.
For Kevin,
I'm cool. I've heard it.
Right on.
Never seen it, but heard of it. I've heard of who has.
Come sit on my lap, young man. I'll tell you a tale. Or 746.
Or give you something if you sit on
one tale for each year of my old life.
Well, anyways, it's Ronnie's time now. Talk to us, Ronnie.
Hey, how are you?
Hi. Where are you?
We just left Los Angeles, and we're on our way to the desert, a place called Joshua Tree. There's a lot of cactuses in there. And all stars at night because there's no bright city like distraction from the stars at night.
I know your song's called Underneath the Rainbow, but what's about the rainbow chain?
Yeah, our friend Luke Paradis made the record cover, and So we just kind of wanted to tie in the title about the rainbow into the photograph that we took. So we painted the chain kind of a rainbow color so that it would match the title.
I like the song "Sees a Rainbow." What's your favorite song about rainbows?
I like the song "Somewhere Over the Rainbow," which is in the soundtrack for The Wizard of Oz.
What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is off-white. It's like white, but it looks a little dirtier. It looks, to me, it makes it seem like older, like a vintage. Like it was white once, but then it became, after years and years of being out in the out in the weather, you know, the sun, the rain, and the dirt, it became off-white. So it's a little like more like cream, like the color of milk, more than just pure white.
Awesome. Why do you like denim so much?
Oh, I'm a big denim fan. Denim, it's debatable, but they created denim in the United States somewhere in the late 1800s. That's when they started to mass produce it. And if you wore a pair of jeans back then, you know, that was like a nice garment to have. If you wore that same outfit today, it would still be just as relevant. It would, you'd still look in style. So a lot of different styles come and go. And if you wore other clothes from the 1800s, you might look a lot different. But people dressed different hundreds of years ago, or over 100 years ago. So it was a garment that's completely timeless. And whatever trends and styles come and go, it will always be in style. I liked that it's rugged. It was originally used as workwear, then people would work in mines or in jobs that are very strenuous. They needed a garment that was very durable, that wouldn't break. So they made denim to be tough and durable. So it's mainly used by the working people, but not the fancy people. And it was considered informal for a long time. But then when rock and roll came out in the 50s, and certain rebellious characters like motorcyclists or actors like James Dean started to wear the working man's clothes very casually in formal environments. It became like a rebellious act.
Do you like face painting?
Face painting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do like face painting. Sometimes I paint my face white. I think it looks kind of spooky, like kind of scary. And I like that.
I like to paint mine with puppies or kitties. What's your favorite part of Ghostbusters?
Oh, my favorite Ghostbuster? I like slime.
My favorite part of Ghostbusters is when he's looking for the Slimer and he attacks the guy and he's like, he slimed me.
Oh, yeah, I like the Marshmallow Man, too. And that movie scared me. When I was your age, that movie scared me, the library scene. I remember really funny. My mom had to hold me to that. So funny. At the scene in the library.
Bye.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Welcome back to Band Notes, where Kevin reads the positives, and he actually says the band names.
Mm-hmm.
I read the negatives, and you have no idea who I'm talking about. Kevin?
So we've got Lasers, Fast, and Shit. They're going to be playing April 20th, Fog Fest, and Matt C., our good friend, says. They're set reminding me of this guy I knew in high school named Gary. Gary skipped school a lot and smoked weed in the park by my house when I lived in Colorado. One time my best friend DJ and I went over to his house because he had an Xbox and we found him sitting at his kitchen table listening to the Doors and doing whippets. He informed us that he pawned his Xbox to buy a rifle. DJ and I thought this was really fucking weird, so we laughed. I never saw Gary after that, but I feel like he would really like this band.
Lasers and Fast.
They're ringing endorsements.
No, that might be my favorite Massey we've ever read.
So the negative review. Quote, I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which everyone in this band is dying are the best I've ever had. Unquote. Cheers for Pews, Kevin. I'm not sure why, but this song was stuck in my head for their entire set. Maybe because their songs were dull, sloppy, and unmemorable. They were nice kids, so it was kind of cute to see them so excited to show off their below mediocre tunes. Although, that feeling wore off after the first song. Unfortunately, this band had the draw. Well, thanks again, guys, for listening. Thanks so much to Luca. Basic Cable is playing here on the 12th of April. And then thank you also to Bruce and Eric. But they're playing with Lasers and Past Shit and Child Bite on 420, which is also Easter. And also thanks, Ronnie, again, always doing the best job, better than us. And interviewing Cole from the Black Lips, who's playing on the 26th at Logan Square Auditorium. You guys are great. We'll get better. Thanks for sticking with us. Are we done?
I want to say something because,
Wait, hold on. Wait.
No, I want to say something.
Yeah, I want to say something.
I got to go to the bathroom.
Wait a second. I got to say something. I got to go to the bathroom.
And then
it'll
pick up on the mic. I'll be right back.
Oh, that's perfect.
All right, so let's do this. I can't stop laughing. Oh man.
So are we cool?
Anyway. And she's like, I hope he comes again. And his huge penis, too.
See you.